You. Where did you find them? Man. Well, I could skip the talk. Because that was it. Thank you, Natalie. Natalie, right? Wow. So already, we've had our hearts broken open by this song. Had another original song at the beginning. We had an old song from the 1700s. And we've had a bit of a debate about Turkish Delight before we ever got started. So, this is a banner day. And I washed my car last night so it would rain, so you're welcome. Glad to be of service, glad to help out. Yes, I am. So, we have been having the talks echo the classes that we've had on Wednesday nights. And so our first class in the Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity by Edwin Gaines was tithing and abundance. The second lesson was goal setting. The third lesson was forgiveness. And then this Wednesday we'll do divine purpose. So if you thought when you first saw the title of that class, this was going to be like a Napoleon Hill class, Think and Grow Rich, it's gone a little bit beyond that, has it not? Those of you that have been here on Wednesday nights. Napoleon Hill started out with a great idea. But this isn't just about, oh, wow, if I do this and have a little bit of magical thinking, then my life will be better. Because there's much more to our spiritual journey and our spiritual enrichment than just that. So what we've done is we've stretched ourselves beyond what we thought was our abundance in life. We've stretched ourselves beyond our fears. We've stretched ourselves beyond thinking that we couldn't make some of our dreams come true. And now we've stretched ourselves beyond forgiving people and ourselves that maybe we didn't think we could forgive. That's where we are so far. So today we're going to talk about forgiveness. So I'd like you to go ahead and take a deep breath, because you've already absorbed Natalie's song. If I'm not living in the truth, there's a chance that I'm going to hurt other people. Is that kind of a summation of that? If I'm not living in my truth, there's a chance I'm going to hurt other people, and there's a chance I'm going to hurt me. So that's what we're going to talk about for a little bit today. And this is not a hard lesson, my friends. It's not. It's a simple lesson. It's not always easy to carry out. But it's not hard. And I want to tell you that today I remembered to wear my forgiveness ring. And I don't know if you can see this, but it's just this little rose gold ring that's on my thumb. It's very smooth and it has the tiniest writing on it that even these don't make a difference. It's kind of like microscopically written on here. But the words that are written on this ring that I'm wearing are, if I have harmed anyone in any way, either knowingly or unknowingly through my own confusions, I ask their forgiveness. If anyone has harmed me in any way, knowingly or unknowingly through their own confusions, I forgive them. And if there is a situation I am not yet ready to forgive, I forgive myself for that. For all the ways that I harm myself, negate, doubt, belittle myself, judge, or be unkind to myself through my own confusions, I forgive myself. On the ring. (Laughter) Now you know what I mean about these teeny, teeny, teeny little words on here. But boy, that's powerful, isn't it? Our meditation will have these words in it. You'll have an opportunity to kind of soak them up. And then next week, if you'd like a copy of it, I'll have it available to you. So in Edwin's book, she just takes all of our little excuses and spiritual loopholes. I believe that was a phrase I used the other night. Our spiritual loopholes about why we don't practice forgiveness. And she just slams all those doors shut so tearfully. She says, harboring a grudge completely blocks our ability to have peace of mind. There you go. If you're harboring a grudge, you will not have peace of mind. Ergo, if you want to have peace of mind, deal with your grudge. She said, no one is exempt from practicing forgiveness. It was one of Jesus' main teachings, and he was very clear about it. And you know when he said, you must forgive 70 times 7? You remember that one? I used to think that was so silly. Why would I need to forgive somebody? A lot of times. Why would I need to do that? Well, because sometimes it takes that much for me to get over myself, doesn't it? We forgive a person and then all they have to do is do something that we don't think that they ought to be doing. Do you know other people's behavior is none of our business? How about that? Other people's behavior is none of our business. Now, that doesn't mean that we get to live with and tolerate abusive behavior or behavior that harms us. But I am guessing that at least 7 or 8 people might have risen to the surface of your mind during the minutes I've been talking, in which you have thought, oh yes, that person right there just rubs me the wrong way. That would be a mild way to put it. Do you know, you remember we talked last week about the complaint-free world? Still on day one. I almost made it past a whole day. And then this morning, my cat dashed out when it was raining. And she's not an outdoor cat. And so when she stood at the door crying pitifully, I went, oh, good, she's going to come back in. And I opened the door, and she's kind of like, come on, sweetie, come on inside. And she just gives you that cat stare. So I went outside, and she didn't have anywhere to go because it was pounding down rain, so I was able to scruff her, you know, because then they're like. So I scruffed her, and I brought her in the house, and I went, this is so irritating, Freya. Oh, dang. Just when you think you've got it, the cat goes outside. And here's another little way that Edwin slams the door shut. She said, your parents had only one job, to get you safely onto the planet. Did you get that? If they managed that for you, anything more was gravy. Not kidding. Do you remember? Yeah, I heard you over there. Remember we talked last week about maybe letting the period between Mother's Day and Father's Day be like a spiritual Lent for us to get over any parent issues that are still lingering, you know. So they had one job, and that was to get you here. So everything else, time to let them off the hook. Time to let yourself off the hook for not letting them off the hook. So what we're about is forgiving freely and joyfully and easily. Edwin tells a story that I think is very touching. I'm going to share it with you. And those of you that were here Wednesday night, bear with me because you heard this story and you know it's in the book. Edwin was abused as a child in a way that no child should ever be abused, between the ages of 4 and 8. And it could have damaged her permanently, physically, emotionally, in every way, for the rest of her life. And she carried that wound for a long, long time, as is understandable. But she talked to a counselor about it, she talked to a therapist about it, she talked to her pastor about it, and finally her pastor said, or a teacher, said to her, "Okay, well, you know, I'm getting kind of tired of you whining about this." And she was like, "How dare you speak to me that way?" In other words, how dare you not let me continue to be a victim of my circumstances? Oh, we do that. We don't want anybody to take away our victimhood because we get something out of it. Ew. We get something out of it. We get sympathy. So the teacher said to her, "Look, I'm going to have you write a new story about what happened to you. A new story." He said, "Edwin, you came to this world to be a woman of power. And early on, you found out what misuse of power looks like. You found out in the worst way what misuse of power is. Now you know, so that you may be a woman of power, being totally clear about what it is and what it isn't. You came here to be a woman of power. Now be that." That's a new story. Yes, I saw many of you inhale and exhale. That's a tough story. But the new story's good. And you can create a new story if you want to. Or you are perfectly free to continue to hold on to the old story and not move past it. So you have that choice. You were given that choice. You were given free will. You were given the ability to choose. I'll live my life fully, freely, abundantly, letting go every day of the thing that needs to be let go of. Or I'm going to do all that except for this one thing. Okay, four things. I'm just going to hang on to these four things, I promise. That's all I'm going to hold on to. Why would we do that to ourselves? And forgiveness is work that we do. It's not about them. It's not our business whether or not they accept our apology, if we have a chance to apologize, if we've done something to them. And it's sure not our business to go to them and say, "You know all that stuff you did to me? I forgive you for it." There's a chance there's not going to be a really good conversation after that. As a matter of fact, we heard a story the other night in class where it went way south. So it's not our business whether or not the other person knows that we've forgiven them. It's our business about whether or not we forgive. And what that means is we begin to reframe what has happened. We begin to see them as doing the best that they could do at the time they were doing it. that we were doing the best that we could do at the time we were doing it. If we had a choice, if we had a way, if we had the ability, we would have done it differently. They would have done it differently. And if we can't soften our hearts around that, we're in trouble. That means that one little part of our heart is calcified. One little part of our heart is hard. And how ever shall all those blessings drop in there if one little part is still a rock? Our hearts want to be like sponges, taking in all the good. And what we're doing, my son spent the night here the other night while I was here, and he got up early and walked the trails, and he discovered that every spider that could be had woven webs along the trail. So he was doing that karate thing as he was walking down the trail, getting rid of the spider webs. And this is what we're doing. We're taking this part of our lives, the fear part, and we're clearing a space. I want you to imagine that my hands are like energy movers. We're clearing fear out of the way. We're clearing our grudges out of the way. We're clearing our feeling of not being worthy out of the way. We're clearing that which keeps us from giving ourselves to the world, clearing those things out of the way. We're clearing away all those reasons that we don't go ahead and do the thing we want to do that scares us a little bit. It's just fear. It's an illusion. It's a construct that we make to stop ourselves. And see, that's the beauty and the challenge of being human, is that we get to experience all those things. We get to experience all the ways that we can be human. I read this morning that said, if you only go to art museums that have art you like, you're missing it. Go see the art you don't like and let it expand you a little bit. Go there and let it work itself on you. If you only listen to one kind of music, change the station. Boy, that sounds so like a generation ago. Whatever you do with your streaming music services. Yeah, swipe it, yeah. I like this one, don't like this one. Listen to some music that challenges you. Sometimes art and music and creative expression is the only way that God can show up, because we don't have human ways to say it. And so it comes out of us. It comes out of us in creative expression. So if it makes you angry, good. You just saw a piece of being human. If it irritates you, good. Notice that you're irritated. Let it fly on by. Okay, I digress. I have a little reading from Catherine Ponder. You know Catherine Ponder? The Queen of Prosperity. Had the privilege to meet Catherine Ponder one time. Tiny, tiny woman. Great big hair. And she was a woman of power. She walked through the room and you saw her. So she said, the world you live in is the exact record of your thoughts. If you do not like the world you live in, then you do not like your thoughts. An uplifted mind is a magnet for all good things of the universe to hasten to you. Whereas a depressed, anxious, critical, resentful state of mind becomes a magnet for trouble to fly to you. Guess whose choice it is? I have a Vanna White nearby that has... We're going to do something a little bit different today. I have a flip chart with notes. This is low tech. Thank you so much. What a lovely presenter you are. Thank you.
Good?
Yeah, I think I'm good. Okay, you saw this on Wednesday night. Doesn't hurt to see it twice, does it? No. Because we're going to be doing this for the rest of our lives. Take notes. Forgiveness technique number one is to get some affirmations that begin to transform you, like the forgiveness prayer that I just read you. I forgive everyone and everything that has ever harmed me. I forgive myself for everyone and everything that I have done to cause harm to others. So there are a jillion forgiveness affirmations. They're in the book. I can get you some. You can make some up. What you look at is, what is my existing condition? What am I holding on to? You find out what the opposite of that is, and you write it down. I forgive fully, freely, and easily. I am forgiven fully, freely, and easily. Some affirmations. We're starting, this is basically prayer. Thoughts are prayers. So you decide what kind of thought prayers you want to hold. So we start there. Forgiveness technique number two, some of these are going to be familiar to those of you that are in 12-step programs. Forgiveness technique number two is a daily inventory of unforgiveness, of shutting people out. So this would be step 10 if you're a 12-stepper. A daily inventory of unforgiveness and shutting other people out. When I talk about shutting people out, that means that you've come across somebody during your day and you just kind of gone, I'm not dealing with you. I don't see you. You have been ugly, therefore you do not exist. That kind of thing. Forgiveness technique number three, an annual written inventory. And see, the more we do on a daily basis, the easier it is for us to get to the annual written inventory. This would be like a step four. Where we just sit down and write down all the things that are still remaining in our consciousness that are not free and clear. The people, the situations, yourself. This applies to unnecessary debt that you've incurred. Ooh. This applies to everything in your life, and you will know. You're doing this with God helping you. You're doing this with your divine spirit craving to be free, craving it. That longing in your heart, this is part of it, the letting go. So she does an annual written inventory. She suggests that to us. And then forgiveness technique number four is finding a trusted confidant about the things that you might have done that you wish you had not had done, and you don't want anybody else to know about it, but it's staying inside you, kind of adding a little poison to your system. And so you go to that beloved confidant, and you tell that one thing that you need to forgive yourself for, or four things, or 16 things. Those things that you just don't think you can tell anyone. Now, let's just reverse the situation a little bit. Let's say you're the person that someone comes to and says, I have not yet forgiven myself for something I did 20 years ago. And I feel so badly about it. I wish I hadn't done it. I'm ready to forgive myself and let it go. And here's what it is. And they just kind of bleh, let it come out. And what would you do if someone came to you trusting you? Wouldn't you say, beloved, you're already forgiven. Would you not say that to them? I'm pretty sure, from what I know of you, that you would not say, "Oh my God, you did that? I cannot be friends with you anymore, ever." Of course not. Of course you're not going to say that to somebody. And nobody's going to say that to you. Most of the time, our big deals, I said it a little differently in class Wednesday night. I called them our BDDs. The first word is big, and the last word is deal. So you can fill in the middle. Our BDDs are not that big. They're not that big a deal. They have weighted us down. They have been an anvil, an albatross, whatever other metaphor you want to use. And we say it to somebody else, and they go, "Oh, beloved." And when Edwin was doing this exercise, the person she told about her big thing said, "Oh, man, I've heard a lot worse than that." And you know, most of us have. You know, it's funny. People come to me and say, "I'm pretty sure I can't tell you about this. You're a minister, and I would be so embarrassed to tell you this. Do you know that we're in the business of hearing and listening to people's big deals?" And nothing shocks us. Nothing is unforgivable. Nothing. That doesn't mean that at some point we don't pay some consequences for our actions. But it's this that we hang on to inside that cripples us. The forgiveness technique number 5 is to ask for God's help. If you're having trouble letting go of something or somebody, you ask for God's help. You let God do the work that you can't do. The second part of that is accept love and forgiveness. Accept love and forgiveness. Accept love and forgiveness. That's one of the hardest things for us, isn't it? Because for so many of us, we have believed that there is something unlovable about us, and it just isn't true. Accept love and forgiveness. Ask for God's help to help you do that which you feel like you cannot do. Remember in the forgiveness prayer on my ring, it says, if I'm not willing to forgive something yet, forgive me for not being willing to forgive something yet. But you know what? Now you can't not know that that's going to be there, ready for you to forgive. So here's some questions you can ask yourself. Just some fill in the blanks, I guess, would be a better way to put it. I'm through feeling guilty about, fill in the blank. I'm through feeling guilty about it. Carried that around too long. I am over feeling sorry for myself about, fill in the blank. This means pity party is over. Victimization done. I am no longer going to blame fill in the blank for fill in the blank. We're not going to blame people anymore for what happened. I am finished with all sadness about fill in the blank. See, you thought this prosperity stuff was just about like money and stuff. This is about a richer life, my friends. Yeah, take a picture. That's good, Gail. I forgive my parents for. Remember, what did they have to do? Get you here. Yeah. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if your birth parents raised you or didn't. Doesn't matter. They got you here. They got you here so you could be a unique being on the planet. Hooray! Hooray. I release all suffering about fill in the blank. Above all, I forgive myself once and for all for fill in the blank. Once and for all. Done. And the words at the bottom, can you see them where you are? What does it say?
It is done.
Wow. Do that again. Do that.
It is done.
There you go. So this spiritual path is, let's see if I got anything else for y'all. No, that's it. That's enough for today. That's enough. This is a big thing, my friends, but aren't you about ready? I mean, this is something that we do on a daily basis because we're not perfect and neither is anybody else. We're not. We're going to do things that are, no, man, I'm going to tell on myself. My son was filling out an envelope to mail in a jury duty thing. And I didn't think he was filling out the envelope right. And he gave me, you know, he's going on 21. And he gave me one of these looks. Like, Mom? And those of you that are parents, you know that look. Mom? Sorry. I had to forgive myself for seeing my son as if he were 10 instead of 20. And ask his forgiveness. It was a little thing. But if I would have found a way to justify it, and believe me, we can justify everything. I could have found a way to justify, but I needed to take care of it. I injured his feelings a little bit. Small thing can turn into a big thing. So take care of it right now. Get done with it. Have it over. Okay, a lot of stuff today, huh? Yeah. Next week, we're going to talk about your divine purpose. And that is going to carry through the month of June as well. We're going to talk about divine purpose. We're going to finish up the book. And then we're going to move into June looking at what it's like to carry out your divine purpose. And you might think, oh, I'm doing that already. I'm doing fine. I notice you're in church. And that's where we come to learn about how to let our lives be a little richer and deeper spiritually. It's where we come to have friends walk with us on that journey. It's where we practice our divine purpose in a safe and loving environment. Okay? So how about this? How about we pray a forgiveness prayer? How about you find one person plus you? That makes two. We're going to do forgiveness work on two people. If you want to add more into your forgiveness party right now in this meditation, you're welcome to do that. But at least one person that you're going to forgive plus yourself. You game for that? You game for that in this meditation? Let's do that. And so we call upon God first, knowing that the work is already occurring in us. It's already happening. And the great divine is already working in us to reveal to us that which needs to be revealed, healing that which needs to be healed, showing us the way. And I'm going to ask you once again, because this is how we anchor our work into our bodies, just to put your hand on your heart, on your chest, on your solar plexus, wherever it supports you best. Nobody's watching. Oh, and thank you, God, for the rain. Washing us. If I have harmed anyone in any way, either knowingly or unknowingly, through my own confusions, I ask their forgiveness. If anyone has harmed me in any way, either knowingly or unknowingly, through their own confusions, I forgive them. And if there is a situation I am not yet ready to forgive, I forgive myself for that. For all the ways that I harm myself, negate, doubt, belittle myself, judge or be unkind to myself through my own confusions, I forgive myself. And it is washed away, my friends. It is done. It is done. The words are right here in front of us. It is done. Just take a moment to absorb that, to integrate it into your body, mind. That today you have cast off a burden that maybe you didn't even know you were carrying. For the good work of your heart today, you are blessed with freedom, with a little more joy, with some relief, with a little more softness around your heart, and certainly with the ability to open your hands and your heart and your life to God's good blessings. Oh Spirit, we are so blessed. We are so grateful. Thank you, thank you, that we have been given this gift today. And just breathe into your hand, feel the expansion, and breathe out. It is done. And it is done, and so it is.